Gentlemen, and of course, it wouldn't be a show without the one, the only, Springer. Buddy, how are we doing today?
Oh, dude, I am just so stoked to actually be recording again. By the way, I wanted to apologize to all the listeners about last week. Weren't able to get one up because I'm a big dummy, but actually... Also,
no, you're not a big dummy. I was gonna say.
Yeah, well, yeah,
had some personal shit going on, man. I mean, yeah. it happens. It is what it is, and
yeah,
you know, I'm glad your grandpa's all right.
And, yeah, sentimental note, but yeah, so my grandfather was admitted into the ICU, actually the day of the last pod came out, and yeah. He had a flesh-eating bacteria in his bloodstream. And he, you know, didn't notice it for a couple of days and he just passed out and took him to the ICU. Basically, the bacteria or whatever was starting to, I guess, creep into his vital organs. And so they had to do something about it immediately. And what they had to do is basically amputate his right arm. So that was pretty tough. I wasn't 100% certain if he was going to make it. Fortunately, he did because he's a old bastard of a Marine, and Marines die when they're told to. So
I was going to say he'll go when he's told to, or when he decides it's his time. It yeah, wasn't his time.
Yeah, exactly. But it wasn't his time. But yeah, so he's been in recovery. Yeah, it's kind of affecting him mentally. I went and visited him the other day, and he didn't remember who I was, which is pretty sad, but you know, that's kind of just what it is. So
yeah,
anyway, I'm dedicating this episode to my grandpa. So
well, big shout out grandpa there.
Yeah,
you know, power to him for fighting through. And you know, it sounds like it was pretty scary there for a minute. Yeah. And you know, we're glad he's okay. And
yeah, he actually has one really funny hockey story he loves to tell me. For good with telling a hockey story from...
Oh, dude, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back in, like, the 60s. So there used to be, you know, a team similar to, like, the WHL, so kind of major junior in the Spokane area. And I remember that he and his friends and his, you know, wife, girlfriend at the time, they went to the game. And I guess at some point, she had to leave early, so he begrudgingly took her home and then went back to the game afterwards just because he didn't want to miss it. So he loves telling me that story.
And that's amazing.
I always kind of find it funny, so figured I'd share that one.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Right. That's what you call dedication.
That's right.
That is, man. That's absolutely some dedication to the game right there, yeah, man.
Well, enough about me. What's going on with you, buddy? How's the last 2 weeks treated you?
You know, it's been fine. It was, you know, I was up in Minnesota doing a little bit of hunting with my dad.
Yes.
Yeah, he got a nice little 8-point buck. I took down a doe. I mean, you know, it was the first year we both left with deer meat, which is pretty awesome. We've been doing this for 6 years, and every year that we go, it's always been either he gets one and I don't, or I get one and he doesn't. So It was cool to finally walk away with 2 deer's worth of meat instead of just the one. I gotta say, man, I'm a little upset. There was the first morning that we went out, we were out for maybe an hour, and I had this beautiful, like, big full. It was at least an 8-point, might have been a 10-point buck that walked in front of me. I take my shot and he drops immediately, and so, like, I'm feeling good. Like, this guy's, you know, he's not going anywhere, and you know, after like 5-10 minutes of kind of waiting, I relaxed a little bit. He was still kind of kicking, and he was able to somehow get himself up. I got him in the front shoulder. So I don't know if I, you know, maybe heart or lungs or just the shoulder blade, whatever it was, he was definitely struggling to walk on that leg. But he got up and he made it away a little bit. So, you know, we waited in the stand like you typically do. Gave it a good hour before we went to go track him. The problem was, well, there was two problems. One of them being it was like spitting rain. And so the blood trail was already starting to dissipate by the time that we made it out to go find him. The second shitty part was there wasn't much of a blood trail to begin with. And so I think what happened was the bullet, because, you know, up in Minnesota, the hot and cold, quick temperatures as the bullet enters being super hot, sometimes it cauterizes the wound right as it goes in. So I think what happened was he wasn't bleeding that much. He bled a little bit on the ground and then got up and went. So I wonder if maybe the bullet cauterized it as, you know, as it went in. And then he was just like, you know, running on adrenaline. I'd be shocked if he's still alive, if I'm being honest, which sucks. I mean, he was a good sized buck, would have been some good meat, but again, hey, it is what it is. That's the way she goes sometimes. I can tell you what, I will never hesitate to put another shot into a deer ever again. That was my mistake. You know, I didn't want to ruin any of the meat because my dad and I don't trophy hunt. Hence why we took a doe and a buck. You know, we hunt for the meat. We take as much as we can off the animal, process it. We're both big venison fans. So I was trying to save as much meat as I could and not put another bullet into his ass as he was walking away. But, you know, the point to be made there is some meat, even if you sever two shoulders, better than none. I got lucky that I was able to get another one and walk away with it. But so yeah, man, hunting was good. And then I went to the wild game last week.
Yes.
On Thursday night. It was the first night that the wild wore their reverse retros. It was a little kind of one night up in Mini with my dad and then my soon to be father-in-law and brother-in-law. Those three guys can't make the bachelor party in January. And so, you know, they wanted to do a little, you know, little one night celebration for me. So that was really cool, really fun. The wild, unfortunately, could not pull it off against the Penguins, but I did hit Sidney Crosby first goal scorer at plus 1200. So that was electric. And then I also hit Erickson Ek anytime goal scorer at like plus 250, and that hit as well. So bet wise, it was not bad. And watching a first goal scorer hit live, nuts, dude. I mean, that was just insane.
Did people look at you weird when Crosby hit?
When Crosby scored and I'm wearing a wild jersey and I'm fist pumping? Yeah, I got some weird looks, but I think I made up for it the rest of the game with how loud and rowdy I was for the wild. So people probably caught on, oh, this guy's a degenerate that's gambling on the game, and that's why he's happy that Crosby scored. So, but yeah, no, dude, it was good. It was a lot of fun. And then, I mean, the fiance was on her bachelorette party this past weekend. So I was just hanging out kind of by myself, not doing much. Got to watch a decent amount of hockey. So that was nice and fun. Other than that, man, yeah, I've been good. I can't complain. Life is good. We're hitting the holiday season, which is always a great time. And good chance to just kind of take a step back and remember to, you know, be thankful for the little things we take for granted. And, you know, the family time that we get to spend together, we got a roof over our head, we got food in our bellies, and, you know, just taking some time to really think about, hey, things are great. They could be worse. Maybe they could be better too, but just got to remember things are great, and good to be thankful for that. So
amen.
That was kind of,
yeah, it's, you know, it's not always things could be better. It's that things could be worse. And sometimes thinking about that is the best way to go about doing it. It's, yeah, kind of just being appreciative for what you have. It may not be a lot, but, you know, taking the time to appreciate what you do have is always very important. So, and for me, something I'm very thankful for is our listeners.
Same. Wouldn't be continuing to record if we didn't have the listeners, but that does bring you to, I hear a quiz is in my
future here. A little bit of a quiz. Okay.
Oh boy.
So I think it's probably no surprise that our listenership is mostly American, but yeah. Can you take a guess where our second most?
I feel like I knew this at one point and it might have changed. Guess. Is it in Europe?
I mean, I don't know if I want to give it away.
Okay, maybe not. Should I just guess something and you can tell me I'm wrong?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh man, it's not Finland, is it?
It's not.
Okay. Remind me what it is, because I know I knew this at one point.
I'll tell you, it was a good guess. Finland was a really good guess.
Okay. I got nothing, man.
Sweden. So now, yep, shout out to the Swedes listening to us.
Shout out to the Thank Swedes that listen. We appreciate you. We truly do.
So now, with that being said, can you guess how many Swedes are in the NHL right now? It was something very surprising to me that I wanted to
feel like this is going to be a trick question.
It's not. I just kind of wanted you to just take a guess, and okay. I'll give you 5 player curve.
Okay. I'm going to guess 55.
Cool. Close. There are 85 active players in the NHL.
Okay.
From Sweden.
All right. So I wasn't horribly off. I wasn't close per se, but you know, I was closer than I thought I would be. Wow. 85 Swedes in the league right now. I like it. Hey, if you are listening from Sweden right now, do us a favor. Let us know, Twitter, email, however you want to reach out to us. Who's your favorite Swede in the league right now, and why? Send us that, and we'll feature it on the next pod, and we'll do a little quick little couple minute story on one of the Swedes and why they're a favorite among the people of Sweden.
Yeah, be interesting to see.
I love it, man. I love it. Well, should we talk a little hockey? I feel like we've gotten a ramble in here for a second. I think
a little bit. We
should give the people what they join for, you know?
That's right.
Let's do it. Well, dude, let's start with the Devils. And let's just talk about this. I believe it's 13-game heater they're now on. I mean... Yeah. Me, oh my, who is going to stop these guys?
Unbelievable.
I don't know where this, I mean, like, I do know where this is coming from because I said it. They have a lot of great talent. And I believe I have my post-it note here from episode 1 that has the Metro top 3. And I've got the Devils in there, baby. Wow. I said, and I remember saying it to you. I remember saying, I got the Devils in my top 3, and you're like, oh, that's ballsy. I don't know if they're going to figure it out. And here they are on a 13-game heater. Basically, what I'm saying, guys, is I'm from the future, and everything I say about hockey is correct, obviously, all the time. So you should listen to me a little more often.
yeah, and whenever we tweet out picks, eventually.
Yeah, we're going to start getting
We don't advise.
It's not gambling advice, but...
But if somebody from the future is telling you to do something, you should probably do it.
I mean, just, I don't know, just a thought.
Not a lawyer, but I know one.
I'm not a lawyer.
But
yeah, well, dude, what do you think? I mean, the Devils are nuts right now. It seems like everything's clicking. They can't stop putting the puck in the back of the net. Goaltending looks solid. Like they're running on all 4 cylinders right now. I don't know. I don't know how else to put it. They just look amazing.
Yeah, I mean, so with their win last night, which is Monday night, they tied the franchise record with 13 straight wins. So that's a little bit of a heater. Absolutely.
That's a lot of bit of a heater. And on top of that, they get a home game tomorrow night. Now, it's not an easy task. They do get the Maple Leafs. So that's definitely a contest I can see being much tighter than some of their last ones. But they... you know, they got the home crowd behind them to break the franchise record. I could definitely see that happening. That's pretty nuts.
They do.
Pretty nuts.
And I got to say, what's hilarious to me is just from the media that I've listened to about the Leafs, everybody who's in the Leafs media is acting like the sky is falling when this team is really not doing that bad at
all. They're not doing horrible. I will say, I don't think they're living up to expectations at the moment. I think people were expecting more out of them thus far into the season. But you could say that about a lot of teams, dude. I mean, you could say that about the Wild. Hey, I beat you to it, buddy.
I know.
I mean, 100%. Well, we can't sugarcoat it. Let's call it how it is. Teams that have been expected to be performing better just haven't been doing that right now. The Wild, for example. Toronto's still fifth in the entire league right now, dude, in points.
Like, oh, yeah.
They're not doing bad. But a couple of those other teams, I think people were expecting a little more out of the Blues, who have the
Senators.
Since our last episode, the Blues have they've ramped it up a bit. It sounds like they listened to us and they got mad that we weren't even really talking shit. We were just saying they're having some Blues right now, and they are not having as many Blues right now. Which one did you say? The Senators? Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one. They had so many offseason moves that people were, including myself, very excited about, and they have looked nothing like what I was expecting. It's been kind of an abysmal, if I'm being honest. And then the Caps, dude. The Caps have been kind of, not bad per se, but I wouldn't call 7-10-3 in your first 20 games good per se. Mm-hmm. So
no, and it kind of just goes back to, I think, what I said, and you may have also agreed with it, but just that aging core of the Caps, it catches up to every
injuries,
team at one point or another.
Aging, mm-hmm. it just happens, dude, and that's part of the game, and it's just part of those, you know, you got to kind of keep trying to introduce fresh legs, young guns to your team every single year to keep that, you know, the youth alive, if that makes sense. So, but yeah, dude, excited to see the Devils and if they can continue this hot streak, because this is pretty nuts.
Oh, dude, absolutely. I'm happy for them. I think that, you know, New Jersey fans are always kind of, you know, especially being in that greater New York City area, the, you know, New York City metropolitan, it feels like they're always kind of, you know, looked at as the little brother. And it's kind of nice to see them getting the appreciation that I think that they deserve.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. You can't ignore them now. They're 13 games in a row. I mean, you just can't. There's no choice but to say, wow, they're playing some great hockey right now. So definitely going to be fun to watch them on the schedule tomorrow. Speaking of schedules, I've got a fucking bone to pick with the NHL right now. I don't know who has been scheduling games or who decided to put the schedule together like this, but I am so sick and tired of having 28 teams play on a Tuesday night and having two teams play on a Wednesday, and then having another 30 teams play on a Thursday night and having no fucking games on Friday. Somebody make it make sense. If you're trying to grow the game of hockey, wouldn't you want to have the game of hockey on as many nights as possible so that people can continue to watch it to get into the game? You're doing the sport a disservice by constantly putting 90 games on one day and one or two games on the next day. It doesn't make any sense. Here's the other thing. For people like you and I who love to watch, you know, two or three games a night, how am I supposed to do that on a night where there's 14 games?
Buy 14 TVs, Dom, obviously.
I guess I need to go buy 14 TVs. You're right. I'm an idiot. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. What are your thoughts on that? Maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe it's not that big of a deal, but I'm just sick of having so many games on one night, and then the following night there's one or two. Tonight, for example, recording this on Tuesday, November 22nd, there were two games tonight. Tomorrow night, there are 12?
13? A lot.
Just move 4 or 5 of the games over to the night before or the night after. It's like, I don't understand why that's happening, why they're doing it. And maybe there's a reason, but I don't know. Sorry. Anyways, what are your thoughts on that, the way they've been scheduling?
So I agree with you to an extent, but I also kind of see the reasoning behind it. So obviously, yes, it makes so much sense to be able to have an even amount of games on any given night. But to be honest, from a business standpoint, the NHL kind of knows their place in the sense that they do not want to compete with Sunday Night Football. They do not want to compete with football at all on Sunday if they don't have to. They don't want to compete with Monday Night Football. They don't want to compete with, you know, Saturday day football games or, but, you know, college football is a little bit different. I feel like people are going to kind of either choose either one or the other. But when it comes to like professional sports leagues, they don't want to compete with the NFL because they know that, you know, if because you're going to see probably 50-50 on like Buffalo, for example. Do you really think that people are going to tune in for the Buffalo Sabres game if the Buffalo Bills are playing at the exact same time? No.
That's a great point. However, I do want to not put a wrench in your point, but I do just kind of want to bring something up. I completely agree about competing against football. I understand it completely. I think that's why Saturday day games are tough. Sunday at all games are also tough. But then take a look at last night, Monday night, last night. You would expect, if we're going with this logic, that the NHL would recognize it's a Monday night. People are typically going to be watching football. And on top of that, it was Monday Night Football in Mexico. I believe that's where they were. It was out of the country. So, like, you know, cool game, kind of different vibe, fun to watch. The NHL had 10 games last night. So, like, I get on some days kind of trying to stay away from other sporting events that are going on, but I also don't get it because then they turn around. If that is their thought process, they turn around and contradict themselves immediately by putting 10 games on a Monday night for Monday Night Football.
That's true too. But I think that to an extent also they, like, in my opinion, the person who schedules every single game in the NHL, that's probably going to be the hardest job ever, but let's be honest, it's probably an Excel spreadsheet that does all of it.
It's also probably not that hard.
Yeah. Well, but when you take into consideration travel times and
I get all that. I get all of that. But also, you know, that's, I still think that could be done. Wouldn't it be easier to give teams more days to play on? I don't know. Like maybe because you look at, for example, tonight's games where you have two games going on and yesterday you had 10. Tomorrow you have, I believe, another 10. Friday you have 14. And Thursday you have none. So it's like, I get it. This week's a little kind of weird because it's Thanksgiving. So I'll give them a break on this one. But I don't quite understand every other night. I just don't get it. Just split it up a little more. And on top of that, you have some teams that are playing, like you mentioned the travel. Some teams are playing, you know, back to back, night off, play again. And two of those are road games. So it's like, you know, I don't know, man. It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah. No, dude, I totally get it. And I just feel like there's so many different, like, factors, you know, and I think that, I don't know. There's just so much that's going on that they have to try and figure out to the best of their ability. And yeah, I don't know, man. It's tough. I think that Excel spreadsheet that they put all this stuff into is the hardest working machine in pro sports because, yeah, it's really tough. And you think about other events going on at these arenas
that they have scheduled out. I will backtrack a little bit and say it's not super easy to schedule. I get that. I understand that. I just think it's got to be easier than what it looks like right now in the sense of, hey, there's no reason for every other day to look like this.
Right.
On a constant basis. I get it. Yeah. I get it. If it's a one-off this week because it's Thanksgiving, understandable. Totally get it. You want to give everybody Thanksgiving off. Go enjoy time with your family. 100%. I am so on board with that. But this is not a one-off week. This has been the last 3 weeks in a row. It continually. It is It is Friday night, you get one or two games. Thursday night, there's 90,000 games. And, you know, it's frustrating. I think I get so frustrated and so fired up about it because I just want to be able to watch more hockey. And I don't get that chance if I'm not, you know, quadplexing three different TVs at the same time of, you know, to see 12 games all at once. You know, so that's where I get so frustrated. But you're right. There's a lot that goes into it. And I don't see that side of things. So who knows? Maybe down the road, it'll be a little bit better this season, even. Like, maybe it gets better. And it was just kind of the, you know, first couple of games, first couple of weeks, they had to figure it out. But
yeah.
All right. I'll get off my soapbox on that one.
Hey, no, there's nothing wrong with jumping on a soapbox, especially something like that. Cause I think a lot of people are wondering the same thing themselves, especially people who are new to the sport and trying to understand it. It's like, I want to watch hockey, but it's not on every single night like I would hope it is. So I'm totally with you there.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, it is what it is. And I'll just continue to watch the games that I can, man. Real quick. We don't have to spend too much time on it because there's not a whole lot to talk about, but just kind of did want to give a big shout out to Evgeny Malkin and Alex Goligoski for playing in their 1,000th games. I believe Goligoski's was last week and Malkin's was this week. Pretty cool video. If you guys haven't seen it, go check it out. Malkin's son reads the starting lineup for the Penguins the night of his 1,000th game. It's pretty cool. Just kind of heartwarming, you know, it's stuff you love to see in the game. Oh, yeah. So
dude's an animal.
I mean, 1,000 games, dude, that's over 12 seasons.
It is
in the NHL. Yeah. And that's assuming you play every single game each year. That's whack-a-doodle. Get out of here with that. That's really wild.
It's And for those who don't understand the physicality of the sport, it'd be like trying to get guys to play football every other night. I would say in terms of physicality, it's up there with football in that sense. And
yeah,
football players only play once a week, and being able to, you know, get yourself back in shape after just one day of rest or just recovery for one day, and then you're back on the ice again the, you know, following night, it's not easy, and it takes a lot out of you, and it really can wear down a person's body, especially somebody playing at that elite level like that. So
yep,
props to him. I mean, that's insane. Playing over 12 seasons in the NHL is just mind-boggling.
Impressive, man. It is impressive. Well, congrats to those guys. That's pretty freaking awesome. Well, dude, let's do a little Never in This Lifetime lineup, shall we? We haven't done one of these in a couple of weeks. I think we could get this one going here. We've got a fun one for you guys. So we're going to do a Never in This Lifetime lineup based off of NHL team logos.
So just the logo, no mascot. Just the we'll do logo. That one later.
We will. Wait, didn't we do mascots last year? Mm-mm. Oh, maybe we didn't. Okay. All right. Mascots is coming up soon then.
I wanted to wait for Bowie before we.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay. Sweet, man. Well, I believe we've been doing the coin flip, haven't we? All right. I'll pull up Siri right here. Actually, wait, man. I'll just flip a real coin. How about that? Crazy. You want heads or tails, man?
I'll take heads.
Heads. You got it.
Minus the S.
Tails.
Tails. All right.
I will take the first pick. And with that, the first pick, Dom's D-Gens is going to select at center. I'm sorry, at right wing, the Red Wings logo. it was just too good to not have the Wings as a winger. I had to be my first pick. I'm sorry, man. I know that was probably on your list because it's also a pretty sick logo.
It was the exact same spot too.
Yep. I figured it was, man. It's a good one. That's
the RW's at RW. Yeah.
The RW absolutely. At RW. Exactly.
That is a fantastic pick.
Thank you, sir.
Was not Thank anticipating you, that. Okay, we're off to a hot start then here.
Yeah, wow, this might be a tight one.
I know. Well, and there's 32 NHL teams, so we're picking,
picking 12 of them.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, then with the second overall pick in the Never in This Lifetime lineup of NHL logos, Springer Spanos are going to select at center the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, I like that pick, man. I like that
one. I mean, you got the Penguin with the stick, and he's ready to go. He looks like a guy that can play 200 feet, you know?
100%. He's stretching that puck all day long. Absolutely. Great pick. I love it. I
had to go with it.
I love it, man. I love it. That's a great pick. All right. All right, sweet. With the third pick, Don's D-Gens are going to take at center the Senators.
That's a good one.
It was for two reasons. One of them being, I think, you know, the Senators logo just has this aura of kind of commanding around him, you know, and that's what you need out of your center. You need a leader, and that's just kind of the vibe I get from their logo. And on top of that, if I'm sticking with the right wing Red Wings, I figured the center Senators, the wordplay is just there for the taking, man. So I had to do it.
Oh, absolutely. spot on. If we were funnier, the wordplay would just be right there, but we're not that funny.
Oh, we're not. So here we are.
Okay. Yeah. That's a fantastic pick though. The Senators at center.
Thanks, man.
Okay. Third pick in the NHL logos, Never in This Lifetime lineup, at left wing. You take the Red Wings. I'm taking the Flyers.
Oh, that's a great one. I didn't even think about them. That's a great, great pick.
I mean, you gotta have those wings flying down.
I love it. Exactly. That's fantastic. Well, that kind of plays perfectly into Dom's, what is this, the fifth pick of the draft. I will take my final forward, left wing. I'm going to take the Flames. For very similar reasons, you're taking the Flyers. It, you know, you get the sense of a little bit of heat, a little bit of speed, and you need that out of a winger. And that's just kind of the vibe I get with the Fire C.
I thought you were going to take mine.
Oh boy,
I was about to be so upset, but you didn't. Thank goodness.
Okay, well then you better take it now.
So right wing, the Springer Spaniels are going to select the Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Come on, man. We've got speed. We've got speed. We've got a
lot of speed. This is a great, great lineup right now. I mean,
I know.
We stack up very evenly against each other, if you ask me thus far.
This is easily like the most competitive one we've had so far, because I think we're on the same page here, and we're just absolutely buzzing, and this is gonna be great. I'm gonna love to hear what people have to say about this one. So
I am too, dude. I'm very curious. Okay. I don't know which one to go with next. Yeah, I do. All right, with the seventh pick of the draft, Dom's D-Gens is gonna select at goalie the Coyotes logo.
Dude.
I just couldn't let that one pass off. He's literally in a goalie position, dude.
I know. I was like, you know what? Dom's not even going to think about that one. It'll be good.
If it makes you feel any better, Kenzie did help me with that pick.
Freaking A, Kenzie.
thank you, babe. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Sick. Sick, dude. Sick, dude. Making your fiance make your picks for you, huh?
Hey, she was helping. She didn't make it for me, man. You're just mad because I arguably took the best goaltender on the block right there. We'll see. There's some other good contenders though.
Yeah, maybe. He 100% did, though. Yeah, he's literally in a goalie position. So, yeah. Okay. Well, I think, in my opinion, I'm about to take one of the best defensemen that's available.
Oh, shoot.
At lefty, I'm taking the Vegas Golden Knights.
Damn it! No! Oh, I had them at right D. So, yeah, literally the same position. Damn it. If it makes feeling better, that was the one I was a toss up for, whether I was taking the Coyotes or them first. Yep. And I, yep.
You had me beat. I mean, literally if you play video games and you play like hero shooters, he is literally what you would call a tank. Like he's just, he's a thick boy.
That's gold. Exactly who you want in front of the net, man. That's, it's a great logo. He's a scary boy looking down. That mask is frightening. And yeah, man, now I gotta figure out what the hell else I'm gonna do. Okay, so what do we got here? This is pick 9. Dom's D-Gens is going to select at left D the Florida Panthers logo. Now this one is kind of tough because when I first did it, I was thinking of the Panthers logo where it's the Panther like jumping out with the claws out. And then now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh, but there's also the shield and they use both of those. So I'm going to stick with it, but I'd like people to know that my thought process with the logo was the Panther jumping with his claws out. I thought that was a pretty scary defenseman guy, but I'm not upset with the shield either because guess what? At the end of the day, defensively, you need a pretty strong shield out in front of the net. And, either way, the Panthers got me covered at D. I'm not worried about it.
That's a great analysis. The shield. Thank you. I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, at right D for me, Springer Spaniels are going to select the Colorado Avalanche.
Okay.
And I don't know why, but that A is just a thick boy.
It is a thick boy.
I don't know why. It's just... You see it. It's just that's some bold lettering right there, and I don't know. It's just that one stuck out to me, and I don't even know why. That was like one of my first ones that I wrote down, and I was like, "You know
I
what?
Like
that
it, man.
Makes total sense."
Sometimes you've just got the gut feeling, and you just got to run with it. It's just how it is.
That's all I have to say about that. But
that's all. That's all I want to hear about it, man. With the final pick. Dom's D-Gens at right D, we are going to take the Predators, the Sabretooth. I think that really just cements in a great defensive pairing with the Panther and the Sabretooth Tiger. You know, it's what else can I say, man? That's a scary net to stand in front of. And go Cats. Shout out K-State.
Let's go.
Anyways.
That's a great one. Okay.
Thank you.
Now I'm stuck with a goalie. And I don't really have a good one. So I'm just going to take from my backups here, pull an audible. I'm going to take at net. I'm going to take at net the San Jose Sharks.
You literally, anything that I didn't pick on my list that you did was on my alternate list. We were on the exact same page. That is wild.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
But yeah, I mean, Sharks got somebody who's bigger, a little bit taller, and very fast, very speedy.
Yeah, Sharks are quite fast. That's a great pick, man. That's a very underrated pick. I love it. And
yeah, my only other backup was the Canucks. So it was like.
Okay.
Do I want to pick a shark or
I like the shark pick there. I like the shark pick there. I think that's smart. That's a good move. Well, dude, let's get into some pick pucks and we'll wrap it up and call it an episode. I didn't get a chance to do it today, so I will do it next week for sure. I will go back and I will keep track of our puck pick records from these first 2 weeks. And then when we do more puck picks next week, I'll do the same thing and I'll tell everybody what how right you and I have been. And, you know, when I do that, I'll just go based off money line. I know we give score predictions too, but I'll just go based off money line on who's got a better record so far going into it. So With that, let's jump into some puck picks. I will start with my first game. That is tomorrow night, Wednesday, November 23rd. This is going to be the Calgary Flames playing against the Pittsburgh Penguins in Pittsburgh. I think this game has a lot of potential to be a very quick, high-scoring, fun game to watch. These are two powerhouse offenses that haven't struggled per se defensively, but they haven't been defensive sound, like defensive minded, to put it, you know, lack of a better term, I guess. So I think we're going to see a lot of high intensity offense, a lot of chance to score a lot of goals here. The Penguins are one of the top teams at scoring goals at home in the NHL. And so I'm excited to see this one. I'm going to take the home team, Penguins, 5-4.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, kind of like to piggyback off what you were saying, these are two teams that are definitely looking to kind of have a statement game. The Pens have not gotten off to the hottest of starts, especially with kind of that losing skid that they were on for a little bit there. And the Flames have really kind of just, they've been, for lack of a better term, they've just been average. They're not meeting the expectations that they set in place based off of how they played last year. And I think this is definitely a statement game for either of these two teams, whoever comes out on top. And I'm with you. I think this will be a good one, but I'm going to take the Flames in this one. And I think it's going to be a high scoring game as well. I'm going to say it 6-4.
Okay. I like it, man. I like it. What's your first puck pick of the week?
So funny enough, actually the game that you touched on earlier today, it is the Leafs at the New Jersey Devils.
I like it, man.
Wednesday, the 23rd. So when this comes out, the day it comes out, if you're listening, the day it's released, tune in tonight. Should be a really good game. So, yep, I think that, like you said earlier, and like we pretty much talked about the.
I was gonna say Devils, we pretty much talked about this
one. I know. Yeah, let's just skip past this. I'm taking the Devils in this one, 3-1.
Okay. Yep. I'm riding the hot hand. Devils take this one at home, break the franchise record. I'm going to take them. I think it's a little closer. I'm going to take them 4-3.
Okay. It's a great pick.
Thank you, sir. All right. In Springer-esque fashion, I just couldn't resist this game. It just looked too fun to bet on, or to talk about, at least. November 25th, so that is Friday, the Ottawa Senators are playing against the Anaheim Ducks at home. It's kind of my garbage bowl game of the week. These are two teams that, like we said, have very much underperformed what they've been expected to. And I believe still to this point, the Ducks have not won a game in regulation yet. All five of their wins have come in overtime or shootouts. And I don't see that changing now. I'm going to take the road team here. Give me the Senators. This one's going to be a low scoring one. I'm going to say 3-1.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Yeah, two teams that are very much underperforming. I'm with you though. I think that the Ducks have the potential, in my opinion. They've got a very, very young core. But these guys, for whatever reason, just are very much underperforming. And this is a team that could have easily been a competitive team this year. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, pretty much a telling point of how the rest of the season is going to go is at that Thanksgiving point. So pretty much wherever your team is at at Thanksgiving, you have a pretty good idea of where they're going to finish the season. Obviously, that's
not to say that can't change around, but I mean, absolutely. You know, you're a quarter of the way into the season about Thanksgiving right. time. So every team has at least had a quarter of the season to get their feet set and see where things are going to head. And the Ducks season is, if you're a quarter of the way into the season and you have yet to win in regulation, that says a lot about your team.
Yeah, not good. And I'm with you. I got to take the Sens in this one. I think it'll be a relatively high scoring game, seeing as how it's the forward groups on both of these teams is pretty decent. It just seems like it's kind of the back ends for both teams. So I'm going to say this one, I'm going to say 4-3.
Okay. I like it. I like it. What's your game two?
Game two here is the Battle of Pennsylvania. We've got the Pens at Flyers on Friday, November 25th. And I don't know. I think it's a good game. It's always fun to watch the in-state rivalries. And with that being said, Pens are slightly underperforming. Flyers are slightly overperforming. And if you're just going to go with that, which I am, to be frank, I'm going to say, no, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to say Pens take this one 3-2.
Okay. I like it. Part of my guess is kind of going to hinge on how the Penguins perform tomorrow against the Flames. It's a tough one because, like you said, it is going to be a little bit of a statement game in the sense of you're kind of hitting that quarter point of the season, and you know it does a lot to sway momentum one way or the other if you can start picking up stringing wins in a row. I think I'm gonna take the Flyers though. I think they're just a gritty team, and they have gone in and done some unbelievable things that I did not think were gonna be remotely possible, and here we are. So I'm gonna take the Flyers, man. I think it'll be a great game though. Definitely one I'm gonna be tuning in to watch. I'll take Flyers 3-2. Low score. It's gonna be a tough one. I think Pittsburgh maybe goes up early, but the Flyers chip away and they get the job done.
Good. Torts goes home slightly less angry
at the end of the yeah, night. Well, if possible. And then his horses can kick him in the face again. all right, dude, let's move into my third puck pick and then do get yours and we'll call it an evening. So I've got November 26th on, I believe that is Saturday, the Dallas Stars playing against the Colorado Avalanche in Colorado. You have the Stars, who have, in my opinion, been very impressive to start the season. They are one of those teams that are above expectations. They look pretty solid. They've got their young guns are stepping up. They're getting a lot of depth from every single line, a lot of great play. And then, of course, Jamie Benn is Jamie Benn. I mean, he's doing great things there. That's expected. And then Colorado, you've got the defending champions, of course, playing at home. And they're, again, one of those teams that are kind of underperforming. You know, they did lose a bunch of key players after they got their cup run. But I am just a little unimpressed with the way that they've played. And I think this Dallas team has the chance to have a lot of momentum going into that game if they can pick up their next two. So I'm going to take Dallas, pending they win the two games leading up to that. If they lose either of those games, the Avalanche are winning that game.
Wow.
I don't know how we're going to mark that one down, but that's my bold take. If Dallas wins both games leading up, let me double check what those games are. I wish I was a genius and I could just call them off the top of my head. Okay, so they have Chicago at home on Wednesday. And then they have Winnipeg at home on Friday. I think if Dallas wins both of those games, they beat Colorado in Colorado on Saturday. If they lose one of those two games, Colorado is winning. And I'm not going to give a score prediction because I'm not really sure how to do that. So that's my kind of crazy out there. I think Dallas has been really good at riding momentum this season. And with two home games, well, now we're getting too technical with it, aren't we?
No, dude, that's our
job. You know what? Give me Dallas regardless. I'm changing. I'm switching it up, baby. Give me Dallas regardless. Dallas regardless. Okay. It's going to be a high scoring affair though. 5-3.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I got to say though, you made a really, really good point though, in the sense that this Dallas team is very momentum oriented. Yeah. It seems like they really, when, you know, if things aren't going well, they really kind of beat themselves up, and it seems like it affects the entire team. And
but as soon as things are clicking.
Oh, they're rolling, but they're it clicking. Doesn't take much. It doesn't take much for them to kind of just, you know, close in on themselves.
Yeah.
But
no, very good point.
Going off of what you pretty much just told me, I'm going to take the Avs in this one, and I'm going to say the Avs take this one 5-3 because the Winnipeg Jets are a sneaky good team.
They are. I don't disagree.
And I could see that one easily going in Winnipeg's favor over Dallas. And going off of that momentum that I just discussed, there's a good chance that they may not, you know, they may have beat themselves up and they're not ready for the defending Stanley Cup champs. And with that, I'm going to take them 5-3. So,
all right, man. All right. I like it. All right. What's your last game? And then we'll ski bim bop out of here.
All right. Well, a little biased, obviously.
Well, of course.
And because I got to reach that target audience that we have of most of our listeners in the U.S. being from the state of Washington, and most of them being from Seattle, or the Seattle area, which is very interesting. So, as a fellow Kraken fan myself, the last game I've got here is on November 25th, the Kraken at the Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh, now, that is actually going to be a hell of a game.
Now, if this game were to take place last year, I wouldn't recommend it at all in the slightest.
No.
But
this year's a different year.
Different year, different animal. Both teams are different animals.
Both very much so.
And the Vegas Golden Knights are just a wagon. They have been phenomenal this year. And on every end, the goaltending has been fantastic. The team is scoring. I mean, Jack Eichel's finally looking like Jack Eichel again. So
yeah.
This team is really good. And the Kraken are performing above expectations, obviously. But it's going to be really tough. Last time these two teams played, it was 6-1, 6-0. Was not a good game for the Kraken. But the Kraken are also one of those teams that kind of shock everybody when it comes to playing like the top three, top five teams in the NHL every season. Or, I guess, two seasons. They seem to play really, really well against those top three, top five teams. So I'm going to be a realist here. As much as I hate to say it, but I'm going to do it for you fans. I'm going to take Vegas in this one, and I'm going to say it's a 4-2 game. Vegas.
Okay. I agree with everything you said. And on top of that, I do agree. I think Vegas takes it. But I'm going to give your boys some credit. I think this is either a 3-2 or 4-3 game, and it ends in overtime or a shootout. I think the Kraken get a point out of this game.
Okay. If that's the case, I will be very happy. But
I could see it. Like you said, the Kraken just have this weird grit about them when they're playing these top five teams, and they always show out very well. And I've been very impressed with their goaltending, and I'm I'm excited to see where it goes, man. So I think you're right. I think it's tough to go in and beat Vegas in Vegas, but I like the Kraken's grit. I think they give them a fight and it's going to be a good one.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping that you're right in the sense that we can
we'll
get
see,
a point
man.
Out of this.
But... we'll see. Well, guys, that is an episode, I believe. As always, like, comment, subscribe, yada yada, follow all the things and the bells and the whistles. I know we say it every week, and you're probably annoyed, or maybe you've already turned off the podcast at this point, and that is A-okay. We're just happy to have everybody listening at some point or another. But it does help us kind of track our follower base and get to connect with you guys a little bit more when you do all the following and tweeting and whatnot. So we love you guys for it. We appreciate it. Hey, tell somebody that you're thankful for them this holiday season. And I promise it'll make their day. So that's all I got. Springer, you got anything, buddy?
Sweden, one love, guys.
One love, y'all.